saying no to desires doesn't work. Like say the Buddhists also say that desire nothing and then reject, renounce nothing.
Resist
nothing. Yeah, actually this nirutti is what I'm going to talk elaborately in the second part of the class, anartha nirutti. Yes, if our focus is on saying no to something, it just doesn't work. For example, if I know there is some electric current in this object, I can decide I will not touch this. But when it comes to some, at the mental level, to not think of something is also to think of that thing. Is it? So I can physically not touch something, but if an alcoholic thinks, I'm not going to drink. The mind is so cunning, the mind will just delete the not. I'm going to drink. So if I'm thinking I'm not going to drink, and I'm still thinking of drinking only. So what happens is, if we just focus on this dynamic of this of indulgence or resistance, if this is the only two we are thinking about, then resistance is very difficult to sustain. But then we need a third, that's why I talk about the higher level of the building, that's transcendence. So transcendence means when we become absorbed in something higher, then we can go beyond this. Now specifically, which anartha, how one goes beyond, that will vary from person to person. So whether it is whichever particular anartha is, what particular desire is. So sometimes the purification may just be by understanding, I say no to it. Sometimes the purification may be that I understand it, but there is some regulated indulgence. And then after that experience, there can be renunciation. So the point is well taken that we can't wish away or deny our anarthas. If I have anger and if I suppress that anger, it's not going to go away. I suppress once, twice, thrice, five times. Afterwards it comes out like a volcano. All that accumulated anger. So we can't suppress it. We have to, normally we think of expressing or suppressing. But there is a third option, that is processing. We have to appropriately process it. And so processing involves acknowledging that it exists and I have to deal with it. And somebody who does not have that particular anartha, they will say, why are you so short-tempered? And they will just not understand us. So it can be, so the specific anartha can vary from person to person, and how that person will process it, that's up to them, and they may take some guidance from some senior devotees, or ultimately between them and Krishna. So we can't wish away the anartha. It doesn't work like that. So in case for some desires, you know, say we may have been eating meat and we get prasadam, just lose the desire for meat. Some desires go away like that. But if some don't go away, that does not necessarily mean that we have to live life long with a feeling of guilt. You just have to deal with it in a realistic way. Okay, this is what I have and I'll gradually deal with this. If we are centered on an anartha, either in terms of indulging in it or in terms of rejecting it, we are still centered on that. And from that rejection, again indulgence will happen. Because still the consciousness is caught over there. And when I say transcendence is what we have to come to, now with respect to different anarthas, different, all of us, because we are individual, so we may require different processes for giving up that anartha. Somebody may just immediately hear and renounce, somebody may have to go through it and gradually they renounce. It is for going from the level of indulgence or abstinence to the level of transcendence. How we do that, that's an individual process. And for different, each particular devotee and for each particular conditioning that we have, it will vary from person to person. Does that address the question? Thank you. Yes, please.